Okay, so we're back again for another time together. Thank the Lord that we could be together for this evening series on the humanity of Jesus. And I believe I enjoyed, and I hope you enjoyed, seeing something about the meal offering last night. God is hungry. We're hungry. So let's eat together. It was so wonderful to see these things. Actually, one of the sisters, young sisters, pointed something out to me last night, and I'm going to share it with you. And that is, she said, it's good that you said in the church life we don't have friends. And then apparently you've been talking in the third session in the morning about the gospel and how we need to have gospel companions. So we need companions in the church life. She pointed out that the word companion comes from two words. One is the French word for bread or food called pain. Panea, and the other is com, which means come together. So you come together and eat together. So those that come together and eat together are companions. We need a lot of companions in the church life because we need a lot of eating together. But what are we eating? Jesus, the meal offering. He is the real food for us to enjoy. So we're going to have a lot of application. That certainly is one application of the meal offering. We need to eat Christ together with our companions. And this will really build up the church, change us, and eventually make us the new Jerusalem and consummate the age. Hallelujah. So then we, on the review side, we had all these components. And hopefully singing that song, the third verse of song number two, was a good review to see these components of the meal offering and what their significance is. You know, with this song, you can see the application of the components right there in that song. And to me, that was so fresh. I enjoyed that so much last night. Did you enjoy singing that?
Amen.
It's so real. The meal offering is composed of these components that are so enjoyable and so experiential in our experience. So let's read the title of tonight's message together. Amen. I was talking with Edberg. Where's Edberg? Yeah, I was talking with Edberg, and he told me his major in college was double E, right? Electrical engineering. And then he said sometimes they call that experiencing and enjoying. So tonight we have a lecture in double E. Hopefully we'll see something about experiencing and enjoying the Lord as our meal offering. So we have these components, and let's review them again. So what's the main ingredient in the recipe? Mingled with oil. And then we add salt. And what else? But what do we leave out? Honey and leaven. No honey and no leaven. So we need to talk a little bit, I think, in the beginning here with regard to Leviticus 2, 2 through 3, and 9 and 10. So let's read together, all together, Roman numeral 1. Yes. So God has this desire, not just in His heart, but in His innermost being. That is, to be satisfied. He longs to be satisfied. And the way that satisfies God is the way of eating. So we can say, God is hungry. God is hungry. But He is waiting for us to cooperate with Him to prepare His food. Something that I didn't mention last night was related to the sisters' function. And many sisters function very well as cooks, as the chefs, as the meal preparers. And in that sense, in the church life, all of us need to be good cooking sisters. Okay? So all of us, brothers and sisters, need to be those cooking. Right? And who are we preparing our meal for? Our husband. Right? Who is our husband? Our husband is Christ. Our husband is God, right? Actually, our husband is God, our Maker. Our Maker is our husband. And as we're preparing this meal, we're going to give him the first bite. But guess what? We're not just a hired chef. We're a chef wife. We're a chef wife. So that we prepare this meal and then we get to sit down with our husband and eat together. And that's also seen, if you were seeing that last night, when we have the meal offering, the first portion is for God. And it's burnt completely on the altar with fire. But then the second portion is divided between the priest and God. And the priest portion is consumed by the priest, and that's the wife. And the God portion, the husband, is again consumed by God with fire. With fire. So my burden tonight in the first part of this message is to see a little bit about what is fire. Have you ever thought about the fire in the oven? The fire on the altar? Where did fire come from? Did man invent fire? No, not in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, the fire, the source of the fire, was not man. The source of the fire was God Himself. The preparation of all the food was there. All the ingredients were put together. All the labor was done. But there was a requirement. There's a requirement for God to accept it. And when God accepts the sacrifice, He sends the fire. And the fire then is maintained. When the fire is maintained, it can be used to burn the offering. And when the offering is burnt, that means it's accepted by God. So in the tabernacle, the fire was something solely, purely from God. And it was a sign that the sacrifice, the offering, the gift, the present to God was accepted to Him. And as it was burned slowly. It wasn't consumed like that. It was burned slowly so that the smoke rose from the sacrifice. You know, when you cook something slow, anybody here from the South? Slow cookers? You know what a slow cooker is? That's the best way to cook meat, isn't it? 12 hours, 24 hours. Cook it slow. You smoke it. And then what happens? All day long, what do you do? Your mouth is watering all day long. That smell just emanates from that cooking. And that cooking is slowly transforming. And eventually, if you leave it on there, it totally consumes the sacrifice. The sacrifice becomes all smoke. So that's all that's left is the ashes. But what has gone up to God as a sweet-smelling fragrance is the fragrance. The fragrance of the offering. So that is what satisfies God. That is what gives God rest. And that is what God is longing for. So we're going to look at this verse here in Leviticus 2:2-3. So if you have it in your Bible, you can look it up. If you don't have it, it's there on the projector above you, above me. And let's read this these two verses together, and I'll make a little comment on them. Leviticus 2:2-3. Then he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take from it a handful of its fine flour, and of its oil, with all its frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire, a satisfying fragrance to Jehovah. And what is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of Jehovah's offering by fire. So the first thing here is the memorial portion. This means that something of our preparation and then offering and sacrificing the offering on the altar becomes something of a memorial to God. In other words, it's something recognized. It's something appreciated and remembered by God. And that becomes, like I said, a fragrance. And even in this verse, it says, a satisfying fragrance to Jehovah. This is what satisfies God. And that is Christ. You know, in Matthew, There's a couple of occasions. One is at the Lord's baptism. And at his baptism, he was baptized by John. And when John was baptizing Jesus, it says that there was Jesus there in the water being baptized. Then there was a dove descending. That was the Spirit descending from above. And then there was a voice out of heaven. And that voice out of heaven recognized that this one, this Jesus, who had been incarnated as the fine flower mingled with oil, and it had the human living that was just the fragrance of frankincense and was salted all of his life as the meal offering, this one who was beginning his ministry at age 30 was satisfying to God. Then later in Matthew chapter 17, he took a few of his disciples up to the mountain. And this was toward the end of his time on the earth. And there he was unveiling so much of what his heart was concerning Christ and the church, what Peter would be, the stone, and all of these things. And then he took them up to the mountain, and there he opened up a little bit of who he was. And who he was a glorified man. He had clothed himself with the tabernacle of his flesh. And it was not easy to see. But he opened up who he was inwardly to them. And it says his face and even his clothes shone, shined out like the glory of God. And everyone was very excited, especially Peter. And Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then there was a voice out of heaven. And as soon as that voice came, Moses and Elijah were gone. And there was only Jesus there. Just this one person. And he says, this is my beloved son. This is the one in whom I delight. So this shows that the meal offering is just this person. The meal offering is a person. It's the person Jesus Christ. Not just with his divinity or even with his humanity, but with all the components of resurrection and salt, who is prepared and ready to deliver himself to the cross. Because at the cross was the final fire of the altar. The reality of all the things in Leviticus was taking place in the life of Jesus. And in the next few messages, we'll see many instances of how he showed himself to be the meal offering throughout many, many ways as he walked with the disciples. But all of it, all of his human living, and everything we'll see was going toward one direction. And that direction was to the cross. And it was said that when it was time for him to leave where he was in Galilee, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, he said he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He was not going to be deterred, not going to be detoured. He was going to that place because he knew God's will. And God's will was that he would be placed on that cross and become the ultimate sacrifice and the all-inclusive offering to fulfill everything that was prophesied and typified concerning him in the Old Testament. It all happened on the cross. That was the altar. And that was the place of the burnt offering and the meal offering. And all of the offerings, as a matter of fact. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll refer to this perhaps in a minute. But there it says very clearly that the first offerings were a type. But they're done away. They're done away. Why are they done away? Because Christ has come as the reality. So the second one, this one, fulfills all the types of the offering. This person, Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of all the offerings. So that's why he is the memorial portion on the altar. The reality of this verse is Jesus Christ, who sacrificed and offered himself for you. And this was an offering by fire. It wasn't a physical fire. The physical fire was there in Leviticus, yes. But this was an offering by spiritual fire. And this fire was started there, but today it's still burning. This fire is still burning today. Why? Because we can see this because we're experiencing this today. You know, the fire that is there is now in us. Did you know the Spirit is represented not just as water, but also as fire? You know, when you got saved, something changed in you. Yes, you got a drink of water, but you also got caught on fire. Something came into you. The Spirit came into you to regenerate you with life. Yes, but also to set you on fire. Your spirit became a burning fire. Did you know your spirit is a fire? Your spirit is on fire. Where does the fire come from? It comes from the Spirit. When the Spirit is mingled with your spirit, there is a fire in you. God needs a lot of fire on this earth. Every time we have an offering, can you have an offering with no fire? No. You can have all the components, but it still needs to be fired. It needs to be cooked. Okay? And this is related very much to the Spirit with our spirit. When we are burning in our spirit, we are serving the Lord as a priest. And this is how we can begin to enjoy the Lord and actually cook the Lord. So in the second verse, 3, it says, what is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. That means it includes us. All of Aaron's sons. That's us. We're all the priests. And it is a most holy thing of Jehovah's offering by fire. You know, fire, one function of fire is to judge. There's no question about that. You know, God judged the earth the first time with water. That was Noah. But God is judging the earth today with fire. And the final consummation in His judgment, the whole earth will be consumed by fire. Even the heavens. The fire will be so intense that even the planets will melt. All the heavenly bodies will melt with the judging fire of God. But did you know fire also points to sanctification? The fire that we enjoy is the sanctifying fire. In the vision of Ezekiel, there's a sanctifying fire there. That fire is not for judgment. It's for changing you. It's for transforming you. It's for conforming you. This fire is the fire of the seven spirits of God in Revelation. This fire is the fire to transfuse you. This fire is the fire to infuse you, to give you the element of Christ Himself intensified in your being. That's the fire. That's the fire that we enjoy in the church life. Every church has a fire. Every church has a consuming fire. Not the kind of fire for judgment, but the kind of fire for sanctifying. The sanctifying fire. Brothers and sisters, we need this kind of experience. We need to experience the Lord burning us. Anyone here ever come to a church meeting and feel burnt? You got fired? Not just stirred up in your emotions. Not that kind of fire. That's the natural fire. Oh, I'm excited. I'm stirred up. Many times, especially in our junior high and high school conferences, you may have gone to a conference and you got stirred up a little bit. And you're, quote, on fire for a little while, maybe a day, until you got back in the junior high hallways and saw your girlfriend or whatever it was, right? But we need to go on to this kind of meal offering fire. This fire is critical. When we come together, we need to exercise our spirit. When we exercise our spirit, there's a kind of burning among us. And the things of the earth, the things of the world, the things that are bothering us, all are consumed by God. And then it becomes a kind of sanctifying. And then there's an aroma. There's a fragrance. Have you been to a meeting where there is a kind of spiritual fragrance? It's very interesting to travel. I hope many of you could travel to many places and many churches because every church has the same fragrance. You can go to almost anywhere on the earth now and go to a church meeting and you'll sense as you walk into that meeting, there's a kind of fragrance here. It's the fragrance of the burning of the altar and it's the fragrance of resurrection. It smells like resurrection in here. When you young people were singing during this time, I felt like there was this fragrance in here. The fragrance of resurrection. Did you get encouraged when you came in? Did you feel like you were getting sanctified? This is our experience when we come to the church meetings. And when we gather together in twos and threes, when we come to the home meetings, these home meetings are little places for us to enjoy the meal offering and to be sanctified. Oh, how we need the sanctifying fire. The fire that causes us to be burning in spirit, because this is acceptable to God and this is a memorial to God. So if you go to the next verses, again, it's repeated. It's almost the same verses. Look at this in verse 9 and 10. So let's read this together. And the priest shall take up from the meal offering its memorial portion and shall burn it on the altar, an offering by fire, a sanctifying to Jehovah. And that which is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy by fire. Look at footnote. If you go back and look at Leviticus 2:2, I refer you to this footnote. It says here, all the meal offerings were offered by fire on the altar, signifying that Christ in his humanity offered to God as food has gone through the testing fire. The fire in Leviticus 2 signifies the consuming God. Now, the reference here is very interesting. It's to Hebrews 12:29. Does anyone know Hebrews 12:29? It says, for our God is also a consuming fire. I always read that verse as a kind of judgment. Oh no, God is a consuming fire. Oh, woe is me. It's going to burn me up. But look at the footnote. It doesn't stop here. It says, not for judgment. God is a consuming fire in the church life. Yes, not for judgment, but for acceptance. The consuming fire of the meal offering by fire, the consuming of the meal offering by fire, signifies that God has accepted Christ as his satisfying food. Isn't that good? Okay, so we need to think of that verse differently. Actually, I was thinking about teaching you a song. You want to learn a song? Okay. Thought you might be getting bored already. Okay, can I have a guitar? Can I borrow a guitar? I'll teach it to you too, then you can play it. Oh, here. We're going to learn this song. Oh, we'll get that.
Whoa.
Okay. Amen. Okay, our God is a consuming fire. Let's read this verse together. As we're getting ready, why don't you read it and then pray read it, and I'll get ready. Okay, this verse is a new verse to me, because the consuming fire in this verse is related to serving God well-pleasingly. To serve God well-pleasingly is to enjoy Christ as your meal offering. And then you serve God. Serving God is giving Him food. That's serving. It's not kind of work for God. It's presenting an offering to God, a gift to God, a present to God. That is a meal offering. What do we need for this? We need grace. We need to enjoy the consummated, processed, triune God. As we enjoy Him as grace, then we serve Him as a meal offering that becomes a sweet, satisfying fragrance. And that is well-pleasing. And this causes us to have a kind of human living that is with piety and fear. Another translation is with awe, with fear, a kind of reverence to God, a kind of living that is holy and satisfying and fine and balanced and awesome, an awesome, Jesusly human living. Okay? Then we can say, as Paul quoted Paul was quoting Deuteronomy here. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay. You want to learn it now, but I want you to see it, but I'll teach it to you too. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God and then you finish the song by singing the first part again. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Amen. Okay, you got it? Let's have the sisters sing it and then the brothers sing it. Amen. Ready? We'll get it. We'll get it by the time we finish it. Therefore, receiving an now, brothers, therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. Through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
consuming fire.
Okay. Everybody.
Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, let us have grace. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, oh, let us have grace, let us have grace. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have faith. Let us have faith.
Amen. Okay, let us have grace. Amen. Let us have grace to finish this outline. Amen. Well, there's so much here concerning the fire, but I believe that's good enough. If we could see this vision, then this would change the way we live, to change the way we meet. And then God will have such satisfying fragrance for Himself. And that's A. God, first God must be given His portion of the meal offering, that He may be satisfied. The remainder is our portion for our satisfaction. And that's Leviticus 2:2-3, 9-10. Now let's go to B. So here, let's have the brothers read B together. Ready? The priests feed on Christ as the meal offering day by day. We are the priests, so we must eat Christ as the meal offering for our priestly diet. So here in John chapter 6, verse 57, and in verse 63, we have these marvelous, wonderful verses. And this whole section is actually quite interesting. And I hope you would all take the time to read through this thing. Because here the Lord is bringing in such a radical concept. And that is the fact, or the statement, that men could eat Him. When He said this to these people, they were taken back. And some were disgusted that He would say such a thing. That people should eat His flesh. He said, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Oh, that just sounds horrible. And people said, I don't understand that. That is just terrible. And even some of the disciples who were following Him left Him. But some remained. Because some saw and realized that this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This was the God-man. They smelled the aroma already. You know, they could smell it cooking. So there's something cooking here. We're not leaving. You guys may leave, but there's something. Nobody ever spoke like this man spoke. No one ever lived like this man lived. I'm stuck on Him. I smell Him. I will never leave Him. This fragrance is for me. I'm going to follow this one. I don't care what he says. I don't even understand. If I understand, I don't understand. It doesn't matter. I'm staying with this one. And so he went on and he explained very clearly to those that hung around. For verse 57, praise the Lord, John hung around for verse 57. He wrote it down, so we know he stayed around. You know, John was a young one. He was probably the youngest among them. You know, probably in his 20s. Okay? Probably, even by this time, wouldn't you think? He was very young. He's probably in his early 20s, I would guess, because remember, at 16, 17, he was with the Lord. And he was following Him as a college student. He was in full-time training with Jesus. Okay. Majoring in double E. And so he was sitting there, and then he heard Jesus say this verse, as the living Father has sent me, yes, yes, and I live because of the Father, oh, yes, the Father, so he who eats me, oh, eat you? He shall also live because of me. Oh, live because of me. Let me write that down. He was taking some notes. Either that or he had a photographic memory or something. I don't know how he remembered all this. He remembered all this at age 90. You know, that's when he wrote John. You think he was impressed when he was a young man? He caught a vision. He caught a vision of the living Father sending the Son to be the meal offering. And he was going to be sacrificed to eat as the meal offering. He saw it. And he stuck with it. And he enjoyed it his whole life. It's never too young to see that Jesus is the reality of the meal offering to satisfy God and to satisfy man. And when we eat Him, just as Jesus lived because of the Father, we also live because of Him. Because of what? Because we ate Him. We ate the person. We ate the meal offering. And when we ate the meal offering, we were changed. We became Jesusly human. We became His reproduction. We became His duplication. Not by mimicking or miming or acting. You know the definition of a hypocrite? Well, it means, you know what it means, hypocrite? It means actor. Actor. Anyone here like acting? I know there's some brothers that are majoring in acting. I asked them how they do that. He said, well, you just get into a, you know, you just pretend. Any of you in the church life acting? Pretending? We don't need that. You don't need to act. You just need to eat. Turn all of your acting into eating. Because when we eat Jesus, He reconstitutes our being. And He causes us to live because of Him. Now, many Christians have this idea, including myself, I had this idea, that if I could just read the Gospels enough times and see how Jesus did things, then I would just try to do the way Jesus would do. You know, whatever He would do, I would say, okay, He did that. Maybe I can try to do that. But that doesn't work. That's mimicking, copying. What works is eating. So he who eats me, he shall live, also live because of me. So let's pray read this with your neighbor. This first verse 57, just about 30 seconds. Quick pray reading. Okay, good. Okay, so this word eat, he who eats me, has to do with chewing. He who chews on me, it comes from a Greek word, which I can't pronounce, masataya, something like that. And it's anglicized to the word we use, masticate. So, that's his next point. Let's look at that. We'll read it, and then I'll talk about it for a minute. Okay, what are we on, sisters? Okay, sisters, one. Okay, brothers, number two. So this word masticate is the anglicized Greek word for eat. And this is not a common word that we use, and it sounds a little bit crude. But actually, its meaning is not crude at all. It means to chew slowly, thoroughly, so that you enjoy every essence of your food. Now, young people aren't generally good at this. Neither are doctors or people that are busy, you know. They just eat fast because they got things to do, you know. They can't be bothered by eating. But I know some brothers that like to eat slowly. I'm one of those brothers. I like to eat slowly. Anybody know David Gideon? He's one of the slowest eaters I've ever met. Bill Lawson, you know Bill Lawson? Oh, he takes at least an hour to eat. He eats every bite. He's working it, moving it around in all the parts of his mouth, savoring it, enjoying the aroma going up through his olfactory nerve, enjoying all of the taste buds, you know, through all the hypoglossal, all the nerves, just saturating his brain with all this enjoyment. Yeah. The more you chew your food, the more you enjoy it. Your mother told you to chew your food 12 times, right? Every bite 12 times. One, two, three. I tried to count for a while, but it didn't work. But that's because it's also a way to fully digest it, to gain all of the nutrition from the food. If you chew it up, your digestion actually begins in your mouth. The enzymes that come from your saliva begin to break down certain carbohydrates are broken down right there in your mouth. And you can absorb. You actually begin to absorb nutrients. There's some medications that, as physicians, we put under the tongue. You know, you like, if you're having a heart attack, you know, I just put a nitro under your tongue, and it would absorb directly into your bloodstream. It's the quickest way to absorb nutrition, because it goes directly into your bloodstream from your mouth, bypasses the stomach even. But certain things need to be digested in the stomach. So they need to be chewed. They need to be chewed. And they need to be chewed slowly. So we need to practice eating Jesus by masticating Him. That means by eating Him slowly, chewing Him thoroughly, enjoying every bit of the savor and the flavor of Christ in the Word. And also absorbing all the nutrients, all the wonderful vitamins, all the substance that we need for us to grow in life. When we enjoy the Lord like this, then we are actually fulfilling John 6:57. Jesus is not fast food. He's not fast food. Maybe manna was like that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure you had to chew manna a lot. You just kind of eat it, swallow it, it's gone. It was okay. But what about a good piece of steak? Roasted on a grill, right? With the right seasonings. Oh, let's chew it, brothers. Let's chew it slow. Let's savor it. Let's enjoy it. And then let's get all the nutrition from it. That's what this means, to masticate Jesus. It actually also comes from, has an anatomical source as well. Because there's a muscle in your jaw. Your jaw muscle is called the masseter. The masseter. And the masseter is the strongest muscle in the body. It's not the largest muscle, but the most powerful muscle, stronger than your quadriceps. Stronger than your gluteus maximus, which is probably the strongest, right? Your strongest muscle is right here, connected to your mandible. Your mandible, the mandible also comes from this word, masticate. So the masseter, connected to the mandible, enables you to masticate Jesus. Maybe somebody should write a song about that. The masseter connected to the mandible enables us to masticate Jesus. Oh, we'll masticate Jesus. That's a song that's in this reference here. Did we sing it tonight? We didn't sing it before the meeting. We should sing it at some point. We'll masticate Jesus. We'll masticate Jesus. Because whenever we chew Him and enjoy Him in this way, oh, this satisfies us. It satisfies God. And it causes us to grow and to be strengthened and to become satisfying as a corporate person in the church life. Okay. You see John 6:63? Let's read that as well. That's next. Amen. Let's pray, read that with your neighbor for 30 seconds. Okay. I'd like to read you a little bit from Christ as the Reality. Hopefully you've got this book, and if you have it, you can look on page 81. And this is a little story to illustrate what happens whenever you eat Jesus and enjoy His humanity. You can be changed because of the nutrition that is in this meal offering. So on page 81 it says, medical doctors, of course I was attracted when it says medical doctors, it's like, okay, what is that? What does he say? Okay. Medical doctors tell us that if we have a certain kind of disease, it indicates that we are short of life supply or vitamins. If you are short of life supply, surely you will have a kind of disease. In my native country, there was a village where the people seemed to lose their sight in the evenings. They lost their night vision. Anyone know what vitamin is connected to vision? Found in certain things. Listen to this. This was because of a kind. This is a disease. They had no knowledge concerning vitamins to realize they had a shortage of vitamin A. But they lived on the seashore and caught great quantities of certain kinds of fish. When they began to eat the liver of that fish, they were healed. Fish liver. Of course, we know today that that kind of fish liver is very high in vitamin A. The point is this, if we are short of vitamin A and lose our sight, and then we kneel down and pray to the Almighty Savior to heal us, it will not work. The more we pray in that way, the more we will lose our sight. We simply need to eat a large amount of a certain kind of fish liver. What is the fish liver today? That is the meal offering. I didn't say it. But I love it. I love it. Okay, let's just eat Jesus. When we eat Him as the meal offering, we get healed. We get everything we need to be balanced, to be healed from all of our diseases, whatever our diseases are. The medicine is in the meal offering. All the vitamins are there. Now I'd like to refer you to Psalm 119. This is another point related to masticating. In Psalm 119, verse 15, if you'll write this down. If you have it, look at it. I didn't put it in the projector, so I have to read it to you. It says, I will muse upon your precepts and regard your ways. And this word muse has a footnote. And that footnote, muse, also could be translated meditate. So the footnote says that this word muse is rich in meaning. It is often translated meditate in the King James, and it implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To converse with oneself and to speak aloud. To muse on the word, listen, is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering. Prayer, speaking to oneself, praising the Lord may also be included in musing the word. To muse on the word of God is to enjoy the word as His breath and thus be infused with God, to breathe God in and to receive spiritual nourishment. This word in the Hebrew is hagal. And the word hagal comes from a root that relates to the chewing of the cud. And the chewing of the cud is what the cow does. You know, the cow takes in the food initially, but then stores it in one of its five stomachs. Cow has five stomachs. And it chews the cud, meaning it eats it in the morning. But then a little bit later in the day, he begins to meditate on that word. That means it comes back up into his mouth again. And he chews the cud. Have you ever noticed that a cow is always chewing? They may go down and eat, you know, for a long time. You look out in the field, you'll see a lot of heads down, right? The cows. Their heads are down, eating, eating. But then when they get up, they can continue to chew. And then they're going back home, even to get a drink of water. They're still ruminating. They ruminate To ruminate is to chew the cud. This is to meditate. This is to muse upon the word. This is related to masticate. We masticate, we ruminate. You can add that to your song. We ruminate the word by chewing the cud. So what do you do in the morning? Get into the word. You start to hog-aw the word, right? You masticate the word. Take it into your being. You chew it up. You get all the nutrition. You swallow it. And then you go to class. And then as you're going to class, walking down that sidewalk, walking into that big lecture hall, you can begin to chew the cud. And just enjoy that word again. Enjoy that word again. And then you even get more nutrition out of that word. More digestion. More nutrition. More nourishment. More divine life saturating your being. More human living being expressed through your student life. How would you like to have this kind of meditation all day long? Actually, another verse in Psalm 119, if you go to 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law all day long. It is my musing." All day long. Brothers and sisters, let's enjoy the Lord all day long. Enjoy Him as our food all day long. That's what it means when it says it is the Spirit who gives life. He gives life when we eat Him initially. He gives life again when we eat Him over and over throughout our daily living as we meditate, muse, and enjoy Him in the Word. Wow. Did you enjoy that? I love that. I learned that when I was in university. I practiced it during undergraduate, during medical school, even while I was working as a physician. I practiced chewing the cud. I chewed the cud. Before I went into any patient's room, I had a ritual. It was a ritual. Okay. I knew I had to connect, you need to make connections in your daily life. You know, sometimes you need a reminder. So, for example, I never pass a water fountain without calling on the Lord. You know, stop, get a drink. When you get a drink, oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, when I was prepping for surgery, when I did surgery, I would use that washing basin as my altar. And I would say, Lord Jesus, wash me. Oh, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. You had to wash everything, you know, like, Lord Jesus, amen. Thoroughly, Lord. Oh, cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. Some of my colleagues were like, what is he doing? Okay, then I would also use the door. Oh, Christ is my door. Behind every door, when you're a doctor, okay, behind every door is a new problem. Okay, you don't know what's going to be back there. You know, you may get the nurse say, oh, you know, there's a gallbladder. There's a gallbladder in room 3. Like, a gallbladder in room 3? It's actually a patient with gallbladder disease, you know. Or, you know, there's a cold over there and there's all the diseases are in there. You know, or this one just wants to talk to you. Here you go. Okay, that's going to be 30 minutes right there. Okay, but so, you know, challenge. You knew behind every door is a challenge. Do you feel that? You just don't? There's some new doors coming up. There's going to be a challenge. So I learned. I put my hand on the doorknob. Say, Christ, Lord Jesus, you're my door. I open to you. Then I go in. Hi. I'm Dr. Watts. Nice to see you. How are you doing today? See, I was exercising the meal offering, chewing, ruminating, enjoying the Lord in this way. You can do this too. You can do this on your campus, and you can do it your whole life. This kind of practice is not only all day long, but your entire life. Amen. How about that? Praise the Lord. Let's read sisters number 3. I think we're on sisters. Amen. Oh, I want to speak a word to the serving ones. All the serving ones, please stand up. Please stand up if you're a serving one here. Okay, let's give them a hand. Okay, serving ones. Let's have all the serving ones stay standing up and read this point. Read this point.
Be to people, and all is well, and all is well, and all is well.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Have you found this to be true in your serving? You know, we talk sometimes about burnout. You know why there's burnout? Because there's lack of eating. Right? There's no lack of strength whenever we're eating the Lord every day. Anytime you start to face some hardship, some doubt, some fear, some weakness, some temptation, it doesn't matter where you are, especially if you're a serving one, go back to eat. Go back to chew. Go back to masticate, muse upon. Spend some personal time with the Lord. Personal time with the Lord. This should be a part of every day in your Christian life. Find some time alone with the Lord. If you lose that, you will lose that strength that you get that only comes from that personal time with the Lord. Then when you come together in twos and threes, you will be able to minister to one another. You know, sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. Maybe you had a time with the Lord, but your co-eater hasn't eaten yet. That's okay. That's okay. You come together and you can help that one to bring them to the table. Maybe just a little morsel that you enjoyed that day. You gently bring them into the co-eating together. And when you do, that one will be lifted up. And then you'll see another companion on the campus, or maybe a new one, and you'll be stirred up together. And you'll be able to join to that one, and you'll have something to nourish them. This is really our experience. The meal offering is not something just in Leviticus as a type. It's something for us to enjoy in the church life. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go on to Roman numeral 2, and let's have everybody read Roman numeral 2 together. And Leviticus 2 indicates strongly way for us to be nourished with Christ's humanity and thus to experience human living is by the Spirit. Amen. It's by the Spirit. Everything is in the Spirit. You know, that one sacrifice on the cross forever was accomplished. There's no need for any more sacrifice. That one has accomplished everything on the cross. But that one did not remain on the cross. He was on the cross for 3 days. He was buried. He was on the cross for several hours. He was buried for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead. And in his resurrection, what happened? This one became something. What did he become? That Adam. Jesus, that Adam. That last Adam. The last Adam. The last Adam was the one who was terminated that race. The Adamic race was done. Okay? Well, what came out was the resurrected race. The resurrected Jesus. The glorified Jesus. You know, in John 7, we can look at that as well. In John 7, 38 and 39, I heard this recently. I believe it was a James Lee who mentioned this in a conference recently. At the end of chapter 7, in verse 37, or 39, let's see, yeah. Okay, Jesus stood up on the last day, the great day of the feast, and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Then it says, "He who believes into me, as the Scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And then verse 39, "But this he said concerning the Spirit, for the Spirit was not yet." Because Jesus was not yet glorified. That means he wasn't yet resurrected. What does it mean, not yet? Well, Brother James shared, it's like when your mother is cooking a meal and you're really, really hungry and you really would like to eat and you can smell the savor coming out of the kitchen and you keep coming into the kitchen and she goes, "Not yet." Okay. "I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry. Is it ready yet?" "Not yet. Not yet." Okay? And then, once dinner is ready, "It's yet!" Okay? "It's ready." Okay? This is what happened in resurrection. Dinner is served. The last Adam has become food. The meal offering has become the life-giving Spirit. When you eat Jesus, what do you get? Do you get divinity? Do you get humanity? Do you get resurrection? Do you get the cross? Do you get everything that He accomplished? Do you get the person? Do you get a way to live? Yes, you get the life-giving Spirit. Isn't that good? Okay, so what happens when you take in Jesus as the life-giving Spirit is this next verse. And that is, he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. We're one Spirit because the Spirit has been joined to our spirit. So once the Spirit is joined to our spirit, something marvelous can happen. First of all, we're regenerated. But that regeneration is just the beginning of the process. Initially, we're regenerated, but then something begins to happen. Not just regeneration. What else? What's happening? Mingling. The regeneration is the initial part, but the mingling is the continuous part. So as we eat Christ as our meal offering, He's joined to our spirit initially to regenerate us, but then continually to mingle Himself with us. So we get mingled with Him in every way. Not just joined to Him like this, mingled with Him like this. And then that mingling becomes a saturation of our entire being. Our prayer, and my prayer, is that you would be sanctified wholly, that your whole spirit and soul and body would be preserved, sanctified, saturated with a meal offering. Eventually, even your thinking could be Jesus-ified, Christ-ified. Okay? Your thinking, your emotions could be filled with Christ. You know, Christ was very emotional. Don't think He wasn't emotional. In John chapter 11, we may see this tomorrow or the next day, but I'll just mention it here. In one chapter, He was joyful and He wept in the same chapter. You'll see it in John chapter 11. He had the full range of emotions, even in a very short period of time. He wasn't like a holy man, you know, walking around, slapping himself, flagellating himself. No, he was a man. He was a real man. He had emotions that were filled with the Spirit of God. When he cried, God cried. When he wept, God wept. When he was happy, God was happy. He was God on the earth. He was a God-man. Whatever he felt, whatever he thought, whatever he willed was God. Was God's will in a man. He was the God-man. He was the first God-man. That's also in that song. I love that song. He was the God-man as what? A pattern. He was a pattern for us. How are you going to get the pattern? Eat the pattern. When you eat the meal offering, He gets reproduced in you. Okay? That's why this next verse, Matthew 28:20, it follows 28:19, which is the commission. The Great Commission is to go into all the universities across the globe. Go into all the universities and disciple, right? Tell people about Jesus and then baptize them into the triune God. How can you do that? Because of verse 20. And behold, I am with you. I am with you all the days until when? Until you graduate? Until you finish the full-time training? Until you're in your career so you can start making money and forget about God? Until you get married and spend all your time taking care of your husband? No. No, until you retire, so you can take it easy, live in the Caribbean. No, He's with you all the days. Until what? Until the consummation of the age. How many here want to see the consummation of the age? I do. I want to see that. I want to be there. I don't want to die until that happens. That's what I long for. I want to see it with my own eyes. Hey, will you help me? We need to cooperate. We need to be God's priests, serving Him, cooperating with Him to prepare meal offerings. And then to put those offerings on the fire. And then to prepare them just for God and then to share them. Prepare for God and share with God. And then we will be changed people. And as we're changed, we will consummate the age. This will happen. Amen. So real and so practical. Okay. So then let's go to one. Let's have the brothers one, the sisters two, and then all together three. Amen. Yes, this these two verses, John 14, 17 and 16, 13, show that Christ is now the Spirit of reality. Not the Spirit of type, not the Spirit of to be fulfilled later, but the Spirit to enjoy now. He's the now Christ. He's the real Christ. He's the Christ for today. That's the Spirit. The Spirit of reality is the Spirit of Christ enjoyed today as our real life, our real living, our real way. He's the way, the reality, and the life. This is our Christ. So let's enjoy Him as the Spirit of reality. Now let's read the next one, B, together. The way to eat Jesus, to take Him in, is by the Spirit. If we would eat Jesus by the Spirit, we need to realize that the Spirit today consolidated in the Word. Oh, what a marvelous thing. We have in our hands the Bible. The Bible. It's no small thing that in your generation and in my generation, we have the Bible distributed. It's not just printed on a few pages locked up in a monastery. It's not just printed in some printing press in England where there may be 200 or 2,000 copies that could be burned by someone who is opposing it. It's not just the Word that has been distributed in a few languages now. Even if the plowboy in England can read it, what about the boy, the Native American in America? What about, you know, the plowboy in England? Yes, he has the 1531 Tyndale New Testament. Yes, that was Tyndale's prayer. Tyndale's prayer was that every plowboy in England would have the Bible in front of them. But what is your prayer? How about every student and every university on this earth would have an electronic version? All we have to do is push a button and we have the entire revelation of God in front of us. You can be anywhere, almost everywhere. Why? Because God put satellites in the air. You think man invented that just for man? That is for God. God did that. What is the internet for? For the enemy to usurp people, to destroy their lives, to poison them with pornography and nasty, ugly stuff? No! We need to take it and use it for God. That means to look at the Word every day. You have it on your phone. Do you go anywhere without your telephone? What's the first thing you do when you get to a new place? What's the first question you ask? Do they have Wi-Fi? That's the only thing that matters. Are you missing your Wi-Fi right now? Are you wondering what has been texted to you that you missed? What Facebook did you miss? That's because our generation, your generation, has this thing. But guess what? It is for God to distribute His Word to every person. People in China don't need telephone wires anymore. They all have cell phones. They can all reach the Word of God. It's available. It's free. It's available today, now, any hour, almost anywhere on the earth. I've been to Ethiopia. You know what they have in Ethiopia? Internet. Have internet everywhere. Internet cafes. What are those cafes for? Eating Jesus. Okay. Now, it's a good thing that we have such availability of God's Word. But now my question is to you. With such availability, do you have an excuse? Have you read through the Bible? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Because even if you had, you need to read it again. And again. And again. And again, read it cover to cover. Read every book. Follow the Spirit. Follow the leading of the Lord. If the Lord is leading you, if the Spirit of reality comes to you, the Spirit of reality is going to do one thing. I guarantee you, He's going to point you to the Holy Bible. That is the answer to all of your problems. Contact the Word with your Spirit. That's a challenge to you whenever you're in university. I know. It's not easy. You're busy. Professors pile things on you. The further you go along, the more demand there is. Then you may start doing some research, more demand, and then you get a job, double demand, triple demand. Okay? You're busy. But are you too busy to take out the available Word, touch the Spirit in the Word to gain the Spirit of reality, to be nourished by Him? No, none of us are that busy. Okay, now, that's kind of a hard word. I didn't mean it to be a hard word. I meant it to be an encouraging word. But that's okay. Just chew it a little bit. It gets better. It gets easier. Okay. I wanted to read point 1, 2, and 3. So let's have brothers, sisters, and then brothers. Sisters 1, in the meal offering, the oil. Amen. Sisters, we can enjoy Christ. Keep going. Keep going. Yes, this is the meal offering. You cannot just enjoy the Lord's divinity. It doesn't come separated. It's been mingled. When you enjoy Christ, you enjoy divinity with humanity. Sometimes it's easy to come and say, praise the Lord, amen, in a superficial way. You're probably not really eating when you're doing that. We need to exercise our spirit, open our heart to the Lord. When we pray, read His Word, this really helps us. This is one of the best inventions of this millennium, or the last millennium. We're in a new millennium. Okay? That is pray reading the Word. Pray reading is the Word is something that has been there since the Lord spoke it, actually, the Lord Himself. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And then Paul developed it in Ephesians chapter 6. And in those verses, it's clear that there is definite connection between the Spirit, which is the sword, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So if you look at this verse, that's Hebrews 10. We'll go on through that. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 6, 17 through 18. Let's read these two verses together. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So here it's so clear that in verse 17, you have the Spirit is the Word of God. But how do you receive the Spirit? You receive it like a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How? By means of all prayer and petition. Prayer is general. Petition is specific. Okay? So we need a lot of general prayers. And we need a lot of specific prayers especially when it's connected with the Word of God. It has been said before that the Word of God is there waiting for you, and it's like a match. I brought a match here. So this is like the Word of God. This is like the Word of God. Okay. And the wood. But on the wood is phosphorus. Okay. So this is good, but there's no fire. So what do you need to do? This is your spirit. Okay. So when the Word of God strikes your spirit, what's going to happen? Oh, smoke. That's good. We got plenty of matches. There's plenty more word right here. Another verse. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the beginning, amen, was the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word was with God. Amen. And the Word was God. Amen. Oh, I praise the Lord. The Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Oh, hallelujah. Fragrance, aroma. This is pray reading. Pray reading really is the way to set your spirit on fire. This is the fire. We need the fire to burn within us. And then there's a rich nourishing. There's the feeding. There's the elements there. Everything gets into your being. And when God sees this kind of burning going on, what does He have? A fragrance. There's a fragrance. When you come into a room that's prayer reading, or in a room of saints that have been prayer reading, can you smell that? Can you smell it here? You smell it starting to emanate out. Okay. There's a kind of fragrance and aroma, something burning in here. You know, it's the smell of resurrection. That comes from pray reading the Word. We're almost done, but I want to read this one section from the life study of Leviticus. If we would experience and enjoy Christ as revealed in Leviticus, we should pray not in a mental way, but by releasing our spirit through the Word in the Bible. This will cause the constant Word in the Bible to become the instant Word in us. The Logos in the Bible becomes the Rhema Word in us. And this is the way to enjoy Christ. Among Christians today, including us, there is a lack of enjoying Christ by releasing our spirit through the Word in the Bible. We may learn many things, and we may pick up different practices, but we still do not have the adequate exercise of our spirit in prayer with the constant Word in the Bible to make the instant Word in our experience that we may enjoy Christ in a practical way. For a period of time, we pray by releasing our spirit through the Word. If we do this, we will have the deep sense that the Lord Jesus is with us to supply us with whatever we need. Wow, how marvelous. Okay, so let's finish up by reading this last Roman numeral, A and B. If we daily enjoy Christ by releasing our spirit through the Word and touching the Spirit, we will be full of Christ. Then we will minister Christ to whomever we contact. First, we ourselves need to be satisfied with Christ as the offering. Then, knowing Christ as the capacity to love others, we will minister Christ to them. Such a ministering Christ, worshiping of God and Christ. Okay, now, we're going to read this focus, and I want you, as you're reading the focus, to consider what you would like to share. Because we're going to have the microphones come up, and when we finish with reading this together, we'd like to line up on either side and speak to one another. Prophesy to one another. Something you enjoyed tonight or even last night that you didn't get a chance to share. And if we could have those who haven't shared first, and then after about 5-10 minutes, maybe anyone can come back and share a second time if you'd like to. And how long will we share? What is the time? 45 seconds? Okay, sounds good. So let's read the focus together. Ready? By exercising our spirit, touch the spirit, consolidated in the Word, we eat the human life and living of Christ as a meal offering, and are thus supplied with a life that is adequate to serve God in the priesthood. Amen.